So like the disciples, I have something in common with them, because I also had what in my mind anyway was a near-drowning experience some years ago. When I was just out of college, I got sent down to Naples to perform at an opera there. And we were performing in Naples, but we were staying on the Amalfi Coast in this beautiful hotel that had a little private beach down on the Mediterranean Sea. So I was down there one day when we were between rehearsals, and I was the lead in La Boheme, and the female lead and I had become friends, and we were sitting out on the beach, and she said, you know, why don't we swim out a ways? Now, I can swim, but I'm less than beautiful doing it. Meanwhile, she was a competitive swimmer in college. So, not wanting to miss an opportunity to impress this person who I kind of liked, I said, sure, let's go. So for every one of her powerful strokes, I had like six that I was having to do just to keep up. And we swam all the way out to this buoy. And she was fine. She was ready to go back. I was hanging on to the buoy for dear life. And she said, are you ready to go back? And I should have said, well, you go back and get help, because I'm not going to be able to make it back. But instead, she just went, and I was alone. And when I turned around and looked at the shore, I don't know how far it was, but to me, it was miles. So I turned around, and I began to swim back. And it was really touch and go, because you're in the open water, and I'm not that strong. I mean, I'm a decent swimmer, but I'm not that kind of swimmer. And, you know, you're swallowing water, and you're going underwater. It was awful. Finally, I got to within a couple hundred yards of shore, and there were all these kids playing with their floating toys. And I was so exhausted, I was tempted to just grab one of them and use that to get the rest of the way in. But I didn't want to get arrested once I got to the shore. So I just kept swimming. And the one thing that I noticed as I finally was coming up onto shore, and it was like in one of these movies where you're clawing your way up the beach, one of the things I noticed was that I had been praying the whole way in. Because I had, during that part of my life, I was pretty lax in my practice of the faith, not really practicing much at all. And I thought to myself, I'm going to drown out here, and I'm not ready for that. So I must have said like 20 or 30 acts of contrition all the way in. And I'm convinced it was God that buoyed me into that beach. And when I finally clawed my way up on the beach, the girl had been probably sitting out there on the beach chair for like half an hour at that point. And I must have looked horrible. She said, are you okay? I said, I'm fine. I just have to get some water. And I did. I got some water, and I lived. Obviously, I'm here. But it was that experience that made me sort of realize what it is to feel like you're really in danger, especially in the water. Because what you have here are fishermen who were very aware on the Sea of Gennesaret that fishermen drowned all the time. Because we didn't have the advanced weather forecasting, so a storm came right over the mountain that's right there by the sea and immediately capsized a boat and everybody drowns. So they would have been terrified as this storm suddenly came in. And very touchingly, Jesus realizes that they have this fear of drowning. And he comes out to them on the water. He does something supernatural in order to reach them. And that's the experience that so many of us have. Because all of us, even if we haven't been out in the Mediterranean Sea, all of us have that feeling of drowning. Perhaps it's a feeling of drowning in work. We have a major project that we're not sure we're going to get done. Or maybe it's drowning in having lost a job or a loved one. Or just the overwhelming pressures of family or work life. Whatever it is, we have those experiences of feeling like we're drowning in whatever the situation is. And it can be something minor, or it can be something major. But our Lord is always going to walk out to us and come to us across the water. Come to us to be with us in our time of struggle. And the only thing we have to do is turn around and see Him. Turn around and turn our hearts over to Him. So often when we start to drown in things, we turn in ourselves. And we don't allow ourselves to experience what it is to have that love of God come into our lives. So when we have that experience, this experience of drowning, Are we going to stay in the boat and have our back on Christ? Are we going to turn towards Him? I encourage each one of us to have that moment where we stop what we're doing, walk away from what we're drowning in, and rest in Christ for a time. When we do that, we have an opportunity to not only reset ourselves, but also to go back to the boat, not alone, but with Jesus Himself, who knows everything that's going on in our lives and knows what it takes to fix it and to help us through that situation. So many times I've had something that seems overwhelming, and I just try to plow through it. But it's not until I take those 10, 15 minutes to really rest in the Lord that I come up with the solution, or I feel that comfort in my life. And I think that's the experience of all of us. We tend to close in on the situation. So whenever we have this, we have this experience of being Peter in the boat. And Jesus tells him to come out and meet him. But what happens? Peter begins to sink. And that's what we experience as well, because we so often, when we turn to that prayer, we have those moments of doubt or distractions like Peter. But Jesus doesn't wait for those doubts or distractions to fix themselves. He immediately reaches out, if we let Him. He immediately reached out and put His arm around Peter and pulled him out of the water. And He asks him, "Peter, why did you doubt?" Now, I think we have an idea that the way Jesus is asking this is accusatory. You know, much like when your mom yells at you because you've poured an entire bottle of grape juice down the vent to the air conditioning. Not that ever happened. But when that happens, then you get the sort of, why did you do that? No, Jesus is asking, why did you doubt? Asking Peter to think about it himself, to examine why was it that he doubted. Because when we do that, we begin to learn how to pray better. So when we're distracted or we have doubts in prayer, Christ is going to help us to break that down and figure out how we can pray better in the future. But we have to continue to turn ourselves over to Him. So my encouragement to everybody is the next time we have a moment where we feel we're drowning, come to the Lord. You can come to the church and in the quiet here, be with our Lord in the tabernacle. Or if that's not possible, simply turn to the quietness of your own heart. Because it's in silence that we discover the Lord. We see that in the first reading, where you have Elijah, and he's up there on the mountain, and it's not the crashing of the rocks or the earthquake or the huge wind, it's the whispering breeze. And if Elijah didn't have that moment in the desert to be in the silence with God, he would have never recognized Him coming. But because he was able to hear that whispering sound, he was able to hide his face in his cloak and rest in the Lord. And that's what enabled him to go about doing the amazing work that God had in store for him. So no matter where we are, whether we're drowning now or maybe will in the future, God is the one who can lift us up and calm the seas of our lives and take us from the tumultuous seas that we find ourselves in so often and plant us on the firm ground of faith.